Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to verse 9. This morning we are looking at the divine expectation for fruitfulness. The divine expectation for fruitfulness. Luke chapter 13, from verse 6 to verse 9. Yes, who is reading for us? I want you to read very quickly. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree
planted in his vineyard.
This fig tree was planted in his vineyard.
And he came and sought fruit thereon.
And this certain man who planted this fig tree in his vineyard came and he was looking for fruits on this fig tree.
And found none.
But unfortunately, he didn't find any fruit.
Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard.
Therefore, he told his vine dresser, the farmhand that is in the farm, he told him this.
Behold. These 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree.
I have been coming every year now for 3 years to seek fruit upon this tree.
And find none.
And up till now, I haven't found anything.
Cut it down.
Therefore, cut it down.
Why cumbereth it the ground?
Why is it using up resources?
And he answering said unto him.
But the farmhand answered him and said,
Lord. Let it alone this year also.
Leave it for this final year.
Till I shall dig about it.
Till I will be able to dig about it.
And dug it.
And then fertilize it.
And if it bear fruit.
If after we have done everything that is needful to be done.
Well.
And it was able to bear fruit. Well, it's okay. Then that way you leave it so that I can continue.
And if not.
But if it does not bear fruit,
then after that, thou shalt cut it down.
Then after that, you can cut it down. May God give increase to his word in Jesus' name. How many years had the planter or had the owner of the vineyard been coming? At the end of the 3rd year, when he came again, did he find anything? What immediately did he want to do? Cut it off so that at least let me recoup my losses. I know this one is a wasted investment. How many years have you been born again? Amen. If it is up to 3 years, how many years has the Lord been coming? Suddenly now, we don't know mathematics. When it was the tree, we could calculate it. Suddenly now, I'm asking you, if you have been born again at least 3 years, so answer me, Jejelio. If not now, start asking you, if you have been born again for more than 3 years, raise your hand. I've not yet said that one. Just answer my question peacefully. Then we'll continue peacefully. If you've been born again 3 years, how many years has the Lord been coming to seek fruit from your life? What has he found? Amen. I want to beg you before we start, will you allow the word of God to come freely to you? If you know me very well, whenever I say that, it's because the things that will be preached will be very blunt. Or you want us to do the church way, to respect you so that you are not angry and all of that. Which one do you want? Do you want the word of God to come plainly to you the way it is, undiluted? Because while we were praying, the Lord said, tell them time is going. Tell them what? See, it takes time for fruit to grow. It takes time. It doesn't just pop up. No, it takes time. Some of you in the next 1 year, your life won't be the same. Some of you, you'd have been married in the next 1 year. No, be so. Some of you, 2 years. Some of you, 3 years. You'd have been married. And you who thought that you don't used to have time now, is it then that you'll have time? If you do not make the best of your life when you are single,
Is it now when they are children? And you must take them to school. Their school fees to pay. That's when you want to start digging your roots in God. And again, God Almighty himself will keep coming, checking fruits. I ask them, Lord, why, how often do you come to search for my life whether I've been bearing fruit? He said that every fruit bearing season. How often? At every fruit bearing season I come. I come to inspect what I'm inspecting. If I find something, well, I'm happy. If I don't find anything, I'm waiting for the 3-year mark. I'm waiting for what? If a child, you saw that drama yesterday. If a child is not walking by 3, don't we have a crisis? Huh? The drama that we saw yesterday, the middle-aged boy that was carried, that's maybe 9 or 10 or 11, that was carried, is that 1-3? Huh? Why are you insisting that the Lord must keep carrying you? Why are you insisting that he must save you so that he can serve you? No, he doesn't save people so he can serve them. He saves people so he can use them. Amen. And I say to you, as I said before, yesterday, you cannot fulfill your life's purpose if God does not have absolute control over your life. It's not possible. If you are not bearing fruits of the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill purpose. It's as simple as that. And you know what is interesting? You don't need to believe what I'm saying. Since it is the word of God, does it need your belief? No, it is the word of God. It will come to pass whether you believe it or not. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. The first point here that the Holy Spirit wants to analyze or identify or highlight is this. That fig tree was planted in his vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 7. Where or what is the vineyard? Isaiah 5 verse 7.
For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel.
Amen. Then the second sentence there. Then you stop.
And the men of Judah is pleasant plants.
Amen. What is the vineyard of the Lord? In New Testament times, what do we mean by house of Israel? The church. I hope you know that if the Lord is saying that you were planted in the church, he's not just talking about a local assembly or a denomination. He's talking about the church of the firstborn. For there's only one indivisible church. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you're here, you're born into a Christian family, raise your hand. That originally you were born into a Christian family. Okay, most of us. Put down your hands. How old are you now? For if you have been fruitful all these years, you don't need to be born again. Amen. The Lord is saying, where this fig tree is planted is actually in the very vineyard of God. Amen. Some of us here, we had to fight tooth and nail to enter into that same vineyard. I wasn't born into a Christian family. I was born into a Muslim family. We had to fight. We had to escape our lives in order to enter into that vineyard. Some of you had years ahead of us of no opposition. If you wanted to serve God, your parents, they will be happy. They are not bothering you. Some of us were fought every step of the way that's not the way to serve God. It is this way that we are doing. That's the way to serve God. Being planted into his vineyard, do you remember Isaiah chapter 5 that we read yesterday? Was that vineyard not planted on a fruitful hill? Huh? So, if it was planted on a fruitful hill, Will there be an excuse for not bearing fruit? Will there be? No. Some of us had very good upbringing when we were growing up. You were even blessed with pastors who don't adulterate the word of God. Very blunt and straightforward people who will tell you what God's will is. Why am I saying this? Because there are so many here today who need to repent. So many here, you need to repent. For what you have done is that you have squandered the word of God that has been coming to you over the years because you think it does not make demand for the word that it speaks. God does not waste his word. He would rather keep quiet than say what will not happen. Amen. If you're in that category, you know yourself. Except you want me to start pointing you out by the Holy Spirit, and you know he's never wrong. You need to repent. You need to apologize for squandering grace, for misusing, misapplying the word of God, for abandoning and ignoring the word of God. You don't accumulate revelation and revelation and revelation without practice, and the word will keep opening. No. The word of God is not given so that somebody can show you know something. No. It is given so that an entire life can change. Amen? It is given so that by the time you are now a husband or you are a wife, you will be a blessing to that home. That's why the word of God is given. The word of God is given so that by the time you enter into whatever reason God sent you to this world, mankind can be blessed from your life. That's why it's given. It's not given so that you can accumulate knowledge and prove that you know something. No. That's not why it is given. So many of you, you were not only born into Christian families, you were raised up in the church from the very beginning. You need to repent. That's what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit saying. Unlike many who are planted on the wayside, or in thorns, or in stony grounds, you, this fig tree, you were actually planted on the very best portion of fertile land. According to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. All the things that could have been hindrances to you, they were removed by God. I want you to think back. Think back. That's what your life was like. So that you will grow without hindrance. You were planted within a well-kept and well-nurtured vineyard. If you're at least 20 years old here, 20 years ago, church is not as terrible as it is now. Right or wrong? It was not. Men were still standing for the truth 20 years ago. And what matters if you are going to build a skyscraper is the foundation. That's what matters. For the depth of your foundation determines the height of whatever or wherever you will be. Is that an issue? Why will you take the grace of God in vain? Some of you, you have Sunday school teachers that they were sent from heaven. And you know I'm saying the truth because I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit. This is not my note. You can see that it's not my note. Some of you used to be eager to go to church. Right from the very beginning, what was wrong with you was practicing what you're learning. That's what has been wrong long ago. Practicing what you're learning. That's what has been wrong. And that's why some of us upstarts who were grafted in later were able to accelerate, because it is not to him who hears the word that is justified before God, but he who does the word. That's the person that is justified before God. How can you bear fruit if you will not practice the word of God that you are hearing? Why must this meeting be gathered again and joined to your catalogs of meetings that you have attended? What has been wrong for a very long time is that you don't practice the word of God. You don't do it. You know it all. You quote it well. But you don't do it. While environmental factors were primarily responsible for the stunted growth of those seeds planted by the wayside or on stony grounds or amidst thorns, the Lord insists that where you were planted, where he planted you, is in the very midst of his own vineyard. Not only is the portion of ground where the vineyard is located fertile, since the location is in the very presence of God himself, Psalm 92 verse 13 to 14, very quickly, he said the location is fertile. that where he planted you originally is a fertile ground. Yes, very quickly, very quickly. Psalm 92, 13 to 14. Yes. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord
shall flourish in the court of our God.
They shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bring forth fruit.
They shall still be bringing forth fruit
in old age,
even when they are now old.
They shall be fat.
They shall be fat
and flourishing.
And flourishing. Where you were planted was in his presence. I'm taking you back that, you know, down memory lane. It was in his presence because he planned your life. That's where you were planted. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, what will happen to them? He said they shall flourish. But flourishing answers only to obedience. That's how a Christian should live. And you know, it's not that you don't know. Somebody speaking by the Holy Spirit this morning, didn't know, said, Lord, even though what we are going to hear today is what we have had, is what we have known before. I laughed where I was standing. Say, but let it come afresh. Deborah, as you are sitting down here, don't you know what you need to do to be a serious Christian? Do you need me to preach that way again? Let's not deceive ourselves and be playing religion. Why does God want us to be fruitful? Am I yet done in what I'm reading? But the Holy Spirit is bringing this question. Why? Why must we be fruitful? Because every tree, or, okay, before I get to that point, every fruit has seeds in it. Amen? And every fruit-bearing tree gives birth to its own kind. Every act of kindness, amen, every act of faithfulness, every act of meekness has seeds in them. When people witness those things, you don't know what has happened, but from your life, the Holy Spirit is picking seeds that is planting into other lives. That's why naturally we want to be like people we respect, right or wrong. So it seems influence is one of the means and ways by which God uses men to lead men. Are you getting it now? He then wants it to be such that his influence is what you will have, so that as men pick from your life, what are they going to be picking now? God's influence. That way, they themselves will become more godlike. And when other people see their own lives, what happens now? They see God or godly influence. And like that, like that, like that, the gospel will spread. Like that, like that, like that, so many people will be saved to be able to enter into God's kingdom. Many of our neighbors are not saved because they don't want your type of safety. If you are saved, they don't want to be saved. Not only is the location where this vineyard is located fertile, the very seed implanted into you is the very best that God had made. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the living word of God that abides forever. Isaiah 5, 1 to 2 says, my well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. And he dug it and gathered its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. Jeremiah 2:21 says, yet I planted you a noble vine, holy right seed. So the problem is not the seed. Like I said yesterday morning, that the same seed was planted on four different grounds. And he had four different results. The problem is not the seed. The seed is the pure word of God. But what somebody does with it, when it is received, that's what affects the result or the outcome. Good News Bible says for Jeremiah 3:21, I planted you like a choice vine from the very best seed. Thus, having been planted in a very fertile vineyard of God and of an incorruptible seed, which is completely right, then it is completely right and expected of God, who made all the conditions for fruitfulness possible, to demand for fruit. Right or wrong? Huh? And if you are here and you are saying, see, Brother Abraham, I appreciate what you are saying. Some of us didn't really know that that we are supposed to be serious as young people and blah, blah, blah. You know, and the years have passed by. So I'm not sure this thing is really affecting me. At least you were here yesterday. And now you are here again today. So whatever it is that you are hearing now is pure, right or wrong. So what are you going to do about it? For it's the same thing. What will your response be? Will heaven rejoice that you came to this meeting? Can they pen down your name again as one of the possible instruments that will be used in the future? Or will it be the same story? Will God, having seen you, like he saw Eliab, Shammah, and Abinadab, and their other four brothers, will he still be asking, do you have any other son apart from this? For the Lord has not chosen any of them. Amen. Must you be rejected? Or is it that you don't know that whole generations could be rejected? Did he not reject the generation that he saved from Egypt? Did he not reject them? Did any of them make it home? Not just single lives can be rejected. Even entire generations can be rejected. And he came and he sought fruit thereon. And I said to you, when does the Lord come to seek for fruits in our lives? The answer is plain. At every fruit bearing season. You know there are some plants that bears fruit like 2 times a year. Huh? You are not answering again. Some bear maybe once a year, Abby. But some other ones bear like 2 times a year. For while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time shall not cease. So, if there was a seed time, it's expected of God that at harvest time, he should look down from heaven to see whether his word has produced something in the lives of the people whom it has been sent to faithfully. It is expected. It's expected of God. Since the Lord has planted the seed of his word in our lives, at every point in time, when the seed should have germinated and should have begun to bear fruit, the Lord will come to see how progressive his word has become in our lives. The Bible says in the book of, I think, Psalms, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now, God knows how powerful his word is. Amen? When he said, let there be light, how many weeks did it take for light to come out? Huh? Are you sure? Okay. Psalm 33:9. Please open. I want you to read that place for me. When he said, let the land be separated from the water, was there so much shaking and so much noise? Was there anything like that? Land was just separated from water. Simple. When he said, let the land bring forth animals and walk on it, was there a process? Was there a process? What happened? Instantly it happened. For he spoke and it was done. And the moment he commands, whatever he's saying is standing. For his God. Why then should his word take time with you? if not that something is wrong, not with the word, but with the recipient. Amen. Brethren, I became the president of a fellowship 1 year as a Christian. You don't understand? I've never said this before in most of our meetings because it wasn't necessary. But I was hungry. I was 6 months as a Christian when I started using study Bibles. Not because I have big knowledge. No, I was ravenously hungry. I wanted to know him. And I have never in my life desired to be a minister. Don't I used to tell you people? I just want to know God. Be a good Christian, you know. Be an award-winning artist, as I used to say. Marry a beautiful woman, build a house by a lake, and be somebody that gives to the church. That's what I went to be. My life was well cut out. But the closer I got to him, the more he began to share with me his body. And the more he began to speak, the more I began to see. I will read my Bible again, look at church, look at Christians. Read my Bible again. I'm confused. It's either the Bible is true, and most of us who are Christians are hypocrites, or the Bible is just something that is unreasonable, and we are just the way we are. But because I've seen fruit, even from my own life, see, when you are fruitful, you will know. Amen? When a tree has fruit, what will happen to its weight? Huh? Do you remember what I said yesterday about balloon? What is the weight of balloon? Light. No gravity. No, it is not weighty. So, if it is wind of doctrine, can just come and sweep him away at any time. If it is Satan deceiving people and lying, they can just come uproot him. How hungry are you? I hear some of you say, you know, I really don't have time for Bible study. Ah. Shebo, Fegba, do and sin. Eh? It will not be you in Jesus' name. Oh. It won't be you. People live in prayer houses. Oh. They live there. Not because it's a hotel. Eh? Nigba, toro aye won ba ye won mo. When it's already too late. They now start looking for God everywhere. Different levels in working with God. If he's coming to you when you are young, it's because you have prospect. You can become something. That's why. Amen. Amen. Apart from Abraham, who God called at 75, show me another old man that God called. If he wants to call people, when does he call them? Before you say Moses. Before you can say Moses. What was Moses' destiny? I'm asking you, what was his destiny? Was it not to save Israel? If he had known God earlier, wouldn't it have been earlier? How many times has the Lord been coming to examine you, seeking fruit, based on what he has implanted and invested in you over time, and yet you don't even know that he has come? Amen. In case you are wondering, but when does he come? But how will somebody know? Every trial. Every what? Every temptation. Huh? Every affliction. It's the time that God comes. Come waiting to just pluck the fruit once the trial or temptation or affliction peters out. And that's why there's no temptation or trial that comes to you that is uncommon to man. If it comes to you, it's because you can overcome it, because God has prepared you for it. And every time somebody fails, what does it simply mean? Now you are barren. That's what it means. Means you don't have what it takes to stand. Do you understand? Because we'll be wondering, and when does it come? And we don't know. That's when it comes. Because it could be a test from God. It could be a temptation from the devil. But all those periods, God doesn't allow those things to happen until and unless He has prepared you for them. But when people joke with the word of God, when they take it, you know, lightly, and they are unserious with it, of course, the test will come and somebody will fail. Fail woefully. Or you've not read in the Bible, what the Bible said about Hezekiah, that concerning the matter of the princes that came from Babylon, God left him. In order to know what will be in his heart. In order to see what he will do. So God didn't give him, he didn't give him any instruction on what to do. Since he has prepared him already for it. And Hezekiah failed. That particular thing. He was busy boasting, busy showing them what does not concern him. Instead of using the opportunity to point Babylonians to God, he didn't. He showed them how rich he was. And so God told him, the same thing that you showed them will be carried away to Babylon. When you die. Then he said, at least thank God there will be peace during my own days. That was his answer. Very selfish and self-centered. That was his answer. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Brethren, a very, very sober question is this. Are you bearing fruit that is commensurate with the amount of the word of God you have been exposed to? Amen. Did you hear my question? Are you bearing fruit? And I'm asking that question from those of you who are here, particularly those of you in Reformation Platform. Even though I'm asking everybody. Are you bearing fruit that is commensurate with the amount of God's word that you have been exposed to? For it is better you didn't know. Amen? At least he that does not know his Lord's will and does not do it will be beaten with a few stripes. Is it not so? But he that knows his Lord's will and does not do it, how many stripes will he be beaten with? Many stripes. Many. Can you count how many fruits your life has produced as the word of God steadily comes to you? Can you count it? Are you even fruitful at all? And he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. And he said unto them, I'm reading from Luke 16:15, you are those which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. I plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ, don't attempt to justify yourself in this matter. If the Lord said when he came seeking fruit he found none, will you believe him? Could he be saying he found no fruit while you are saying you found fruit in the same life where God found nothing? Are you a better searcher now? Would you call bitter, worthless, wild, fleshy, sinful, and worldly manifestations as fruit? Can you enjoy a bitter orange? Or would you want a rotten mango for dessert when you finish your lunch? Could those be fruit? In the same way, should we consider the fruits of the flesh that you keep producing even after you are now speaking in tongues as something that is pleasing to God? Is it that you've forgotten that those who are in the flesh cannot please God? He said, I planted you a choice vine from the very best seed. But look at what you have become. You are like a rotten, worthless vine. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, Good News Bible. That's what I just quoted. I planted you like a choice vine from the very best seed. But look at what you have become. You are like a rotten, worthless vine. And the axe of God's judgment is swinging towards the root of the trees.
Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew 3:10. Hebrews 6:7 to 8. For the soil that drinks the rain which often falls upon it and produces crops useful to those by for whose benefit it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it persistently produces thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 4, good God's word version. What more could have been done for my vineyard than what I have done already for it? When I waited for it to produce good grapes, why did it produce sour and wild grapes? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 32, Amplified Bible. And then I want someone to read it in a message when I finish reading in Amplified. Deuteronomy 32, verse 32. For their vine is from Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison. Their clusters, they are bitter. If your life as a Christian had ever caused anybody to stumble, that's the kind of fruit you have been producing. Simple and short. Simple and short. People wonder, but why is it that people don't just, if I say I want to preach to them, why is it that they don't listen? Because we have forgotten that Christianity is a life. What's Christianity? It's not an act for a time. Like I told you, when people are going to church on Sunday, they wear their Sunday's best. And I said, they wear costume. When they come to church, there's a way they start looking and talking holy. The moment they go outside, they are something else. Deuteronomy 32:32 message translation.
Deuteronomy 32:32. For their rock is nothing compared to our rock.
Deuteronomy 32:32.
They are a vine that comes right out of Sodom.
Yes.
Who they are is rooted in Gomorrah. Their grapes are poison grapes. Their grape clusters bitter.
Imagine that your fruits are poisonous. That what it does is that it poisons other people. You see, God does not send us word if we don't need to hear those words. Many homes are scattered and shattered today. Why? No fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can't say that you don't like your wife because she's too loving, or she's too kind, or too patient, or she's too faithful to you. You can't say you want to divorce your husband because he's meek and he has too much self-control. Amen. The absence of these fruits, right in a person's life, right from when he's young, then all of a sudden now he's marrying, all of a sudden he's entering into ministry, no fruit. Of course, you need to be able to threaten people with your anointing that if they don't obey, you will curse them. As simple as that. Of course, there will be need for all manner of excuses and why something is wrong with the people, but nothing is wrong with you. When you were growing up, if you are a young man here, you wanted to be like your daddy. At least the first 15 years of your life, right or wrong? Until the man lost that time. Why? No fruit. When I was growing up, I used to think that my father was the wisest person. So much I admired him. But the older I got,
The more I saw him for what he really was. And I knew, I'm not sure I want to be like this man. In fact, I said that when I was 15. Amen. If your children will not say that about you, you must be fruitful from now. Are you hearing me? You say, but you said, no. I don't want to be like him. That's how, if you despise the word of God that's coming to you now, your sons, your daughters, that's what they're going to say about you. Just 15 years after you have given birth to them. Because they will look at your life and they won't see any example to follow. Because they will know that you're a godless person. Amen. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he will reap. From all the scriptures that we've read, you notice something. God considers bitter, poisonous, wild, alien, rotten, and worthless fruit equivalent to barrenness. Right or wrong? Have you ever tasted bitter mango before? Do you want to try? Huh? Do you know what you say? No, you don't even want to try. Let bitter mango go. So if there's a tree that produces bitter mangoes, every time it is fruitful, what will people do? You know, it's only people that don't know it. And every taste is with a permanent regret. If I had known. It shouldn't be that when people come close to you that they will be regretting that they came close to a Christian. Don't you think so? Don't you think so? The moment people come close to you, what you taste like is just terrible. It's just bitter or sour. It's not fresh and sweet. Do you notice something about fruits? Whether you come midnight and you pluck it secretly and taste, what will happen? Do you notice it's the same? Huh? Is it sweet in the morning and bitter at night? Is it sweet in the public? That okay, how much is your rate? It's so amount. Say, please, give me 29. Then they gave you. And as you, they opened it there and took it there, it's sweet. Then the others that you took, they got bitter along the line. So, this being sweet outside and bitter at home, it's not Christianity. It is religion. What is it? It is not real, it is fake. Thus, when the Lord came to seek for fruit and found none, what he sent to us is that he found nothing that is useful to God's kingdom or that which is beneficial to fellow men. He found nothing that threatens or terrifies hell. Do you understand? Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Did Jesus say so? What do we say today? Father, in the name of Jesus, everybody that wants to bring embarrassment to me, let their shame come on their head. Let it come on their head now. Is that not how we pray? So, how can that type of life threaten hell? A supposedly Christian life that is not persecution proof. Amen. That once persecution comes, all the thing cause Christianity falls to the ground. No. It's not need deceiving ourselves. Yet he found a plenty fruits of Sodom. Fruits produced in and from a rebellious life. Even when somebody is carrying the Bible. While most of our so-called Christian lives are devoid of anything helpful, holy, or edifying, as the Lord come again and again to seek fruit from your own life, will you still find habits and character traits that are injurious, poisonous, and a cause of stumbling to the lives of others who are struggling to please God but are still looking up to you? Is that what you will find? A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard,
And he came and sought fruit thereon, but he found none. Then he said unto the vine dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. For how long must the Lord come before you will be serious with your life? Or before you realize that you are in danger of being cut off? How long must he keep coming? Can you continue like this, producing fruits of worldliness, fruits of the flesh, fruits of sin, yea, fruits of Satan himself, and still remain a genuine Christian? All that men need to do is to come a bit closer to your life, and all the charade that you call Christianity will come crashing down. Isaiah 29 verse 13, Amplified Bible, Classic. Good News Bible. Also, Isaiah 29:13. Yes? Is that Amplified Bible? Okay, go ahead. The Lord has said, these people praise me with their words.
They never really think about me.
But they don't really think about me.
They worship me by repeating rules made
they
by you.
They only worship me by rote.
By repeating
that
rules.
That is repetition of rules.
Made by humans.
Made by human beings. Were you not very small when you knew how to read the Lord's Prayer? Huh? Have you gotten to the point now where when you pray, you know God is answering you? Have you gotten to the point now where you know how to pray and get instant results? But how many years did it take? It's good to be able to quote Bible, but it's better to be able to obey and practice what somebody is quoting. That's where power, spiritual power, comes from. So it comes from. I told you yesterday, no matter how anointed a man is, no matter how much he exhibits the fruits or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if he does not have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that power will corrupt him. It's as simple as that. And like we said this morning when I was addressing the missionaries and somebody asked a question. A car has AC, is it not so? Has seats so that when you are in the car, you are not standing up. Abi? And it can move fast. Abi? All of that is like the anointing or the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you see steering wheel, brake, gear, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A car that has no brake, what is the destiny of that car? You don't need to be a prophet to prophesy how that car will end. What will happen to that car? Eh? A car that just it can speed but has no brake. What will happen to it? It will crash. It will crash. Behold, for these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. He has come to you for at least 3 years. How continually patient do you think he will be? How long do you think he will give you for? Listen, let us say that you are 24 now as a young lady, okay? Okay? And in the purpose of God, you're supposed to marry at 26. Huh? And so, maybe right from when you are 12 or 13 or 14, the Holy Spirit has been coming, convicting you so that God can begin his work in your life early. Are you getting it now? And you keep resisting and keep resisting. And let's say that you got born again at 21. No, let's say 26 is when you're supposed to be married, Abby. According to the plan of God. Let's say you now got born again at 25. Now, from 15 to 25 is how many years? Huh?
Is that 10 years?
Okay,
10 years. Then, let's say that you now got born again when you are, I think I said 25, Abby. Should you marry next year? Huh? But why not? What if somebody comes and says you have finished school at NYSC? Huh? You notice if you marry next year, what will happen? What will happen? If the house eventually stands, maybe God has mercy. Will it fit properly into God's purpose the way it should have fit into his purpose? No. Why? Because what you use 10 years to learn, or what you should have used 10 years to learn, we cannot accumulate it and cut and break your head and put it inside in a year. No. Do you understand? Oh yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the same way, let us say that you're supposed to be to enter into God's purpose for your life at 30, bro. Huh? Then you got born again at 28. Will God call you into ministry at 30? Because if he does, you are an accident waiting to happen. I still keep hearing him saying, tell them there's no time. There's no what? The time that you should enter into whatever purpose or reason why God called you is very close. So if you are going to be serious about being fruitful, when is it? It's now. For already you have lost time. We can only beg God that the years that the palmer woman can come has eaten, let God restore. That's what we can only beg God for. Romans 2, 4 to 11. Amplified Bible, the new edition, very quickly, because of time.
Romans 2, 4.
Yes, to 11. You have to read very fast.
Or do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness and tolerance and patience in withholding his wrath? Are you actually unaware or ignorant of the fact that God's kindness leads you to repentance, that is, to change your inner self, your old way of thinking, seek his purpose for your life, but because of your callous stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are deliberately storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgments will be revealed. He will pay back to each person according to his deeds, justly as his deeds deserve. To those who by persistence in doing good seek unseen but uncertain heavenly glory, honor and immortality, he will give the gift of eternal life. But for those who are selfishly ambitious and self-seeking and disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and anguish, torturing confinement for every human soul who does or permits evil, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and inner peace will be given to everyone who habitually does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality, no arbitrary favoritism. With him, one person is not more important than another.
Do you think he has no plan or purpose when he saved you? Does any sensible person invest his resources on a business that will eventually become unprofitable? Does anybody do that? Now, God, who sees the beginning from the end, will he have called you and invested in you because he planned that you fail? Huh? No, he doesn't do that. Salvation is a free gift, yes, but it's only for the receiver. It's only for who? Salvation through Jesus Christ is the costliest, most expensive sacrificial investment ever undertaken either by God or by man. Very expensive because it costs the blood of Jesus Christ. The only person after Adam who never lived in sin. Who was not even born in sin. Does any sensible person ever buy something he does not need? Would the only wise God redeem you without a reason? Will he do that? Okay, I just want you to be, I want you to be born again so that I can put you in churches so that when my preachers are preaching, they won't be preaching to tear. They will see people. You think that's why you're born again? Nobody buys what he does not need. Amen. So if God undertook the process of redemption and he paid for you with the blood of Jesus Christ, it's for a reason. There's what he wants to do. There's what he wants to use you for. Do you buy what you don't need? Please, do you buy what you don't need? Sir, have you ever bought what you don't need before in your life? Are you planning to buy what you don't need? So why will God pay so much? And at the end of it, it's for nothing. If we who are not as perfect or as wise as God don't do that, why will God, who is perfect, why will he do that? Will he clean you up, separate you from the contaminating and corrupting influence of the world system, from the delusions and deceits of the flesh, from the power, guilt, and consequences of sin, and from the dominion and oppression of Satan, and it will all be for nothing? No, it's not for nothing. It is because a kingdom is coming. Amen. And not all mankind can fit into it because they are by nature children of wrath. But he is worse, that sinner whom has exchanged his cloak of worldliness for religious cloak. And he continues in his old way of life, even now as a churchman. His punishment will be worse. A kingdom is coming, not everyone will fit into it. And he redeemed you so that you can be part of the ruling class. That's why he redeemed you. And all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they must not just be in you, they must be mature. They must be how? For only such people have capacity to lead in the age or in the world that is to come. And it's not just doing it for the world that is to come. It has its usefulness here. What is its usefulness? So that through your life, many will come to God, having seen that it's possible to live a clean and righteous life. And that even when you don't know that people are noticing you, they met you that you are sweet, even there in secret. That you are not doing it only because you notice that people are looking at you. Will your life keep repelling people away from God's kingdom? Will people keep saying, if you are a Christian, I don't want to go to heaven. If what it means to be a Christian is to be like you, then I don't want to share the same heaven with you. Go to your heaven. If you are a Christian and you live like this, I will gladly go to hell. Should people say that because of you? So if it takes 8 years before the first evidence of Christian fruit starts budding, yet all the while you are a stumbling block to unbelievers from coming into the faith, and you are a stumbling block to other younger believers, if you are God, would you continue to invest in such a worthless life? If you are God, would you? If I was God, I won't. And before you say in your heart, well, thank God that you are not God. God is a God of mercy. I've had you. But the God of mercy, Jesus Christ, who came to the world to die for humanity, is the one that said that I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abi? Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he cuts it off. Who does the cutting off? God, who does not want any man to perish, but you want all to be saved, is the one that cuts off fruitless branches from Christ. So, if you have been used to all this funny gospel that can't save people, this gospel that just brings money to church, and that makes the pastor to live a better life, you have not heard the true gospel. Amen. You haven't. Or wouldn't you rather cut it down so as to save cost and stop wasting resources? Do you even know how costly it is to keep you alive? To keep you protected? To keep you progressing? Despite your rebellion, barrenness, and unfruitfulness? Do you know how costly it is for God to keep you healthy? Oh, because he doesn't say it? No, no. This thing must stop. The devil must be put to shame in your life in Jesus' name. Your agreement with hell will not stand in the name of Jesus. For you, it may be called free gift, mercy or grace. But for God, it is the number of angels that must keep you. Number of spiritual battles that must be won so that you can be safe and things can be fine with you. And the amount of resources allocated to your well-being. Keeping each human being alive is a very costly business, even if you don't know. It's a very costly business, even if you don't know. And because God does not complain about it, it doesn't make it less costly. It's because in his magnanimity, he's the only one that can afford such costs. Okay, let's just do a small analysis. He said, he that keeps you does not sleep, neither does he slumber. Have you heard of an angel that sleeps before? I'm not talking about God, now angels. And while Michael sleepeth, a younger angel went there and tapped him and said, "My Lord Michael, you won't see it. They don't sleep." Now, that means you must be guarded 24 hours. Abby? With no shift. Huh? If angels are assigned to you, they are assigned to you for how long ago? For life. And the more useful you become to God, the more the number of angels that keep you and things that concern you increase. Okay? Now, I want you to quantify it. Let's assume that those angels it's a security company. That they keep you 24 hours. And let's assume they are charging per hour. If you are Bill Gates, will you not go broke? Eh? If they are charging per hour to guard you. I have not brought feeding. Huh? It's just guarding you. I have not brought in keeping you healthy. Whether it is mental health, emotional health, or physical health, I have not brought any of those things in. Now somebody will consume all of that and will still be rebellious to the person doing all that. So you see, it is evil. It's evil now. Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbers it the ground? Another translation says, look here, I've been looking for fruit on this fig tree every year for the past 3 years. But there have been no figs. Cut it down. It is just using up the nutrients in the soil for nothing. Amen. Just using up my resources for nothing. Yet another translation, the Voice Bible says, look at this tree. For 3 years I've come hoping to find fresh figs. But what did I find? But what do I find? Nothing. So just go ahead and cut it down. Why waste the space with a fruitless tree? Amen. Why waste the space with a fruitless tree? So as you are still saying, Lord, I shall not die but live. Be fruitful so that we can justify why you should live. Amen. In the early dawn of the morning. Now, after what I've said, I'm trying to conclude now. This is the reason why fruitfulness is an urgent matter for your life. Huh? Very quickly, Matthew 21, verse 18 to 20, Amplified Bible Classic. Matthew 21, 18 to 20, Amplified Bible Classic. Why is fruitfulness a very urgent matter? Why must I respond urgently as a matter of urgency? Why? This is why. Yes, who is reading for us? Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 21, 18 to 20.
Matthew 21:18-20. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw...
No, that's not Amplified Classic. In the early morning, yes?
He was hungry.
And as he was coming back to the city, he was hungry.
And he saw one single leafy fig tree.
And he saw one single leafy fig tree.
Above the roadside.
Yes.
He went to eat, but he found nothing but leaves on it. Seeing that in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. And he said to it, never again shall fruit grow on you. And the fig tree withered up at once.
Amen. Who is this person that we are talking about here? So who was that owner of the vineyard? Huh? The one that we read before, that came every 3 years. Who was it? Huh? It's the same Jesus. It's the same person. While he gave those other trees 3 years, what happened to this one? Huh? It was showing leaves. And in the fig tree, leaves and fruit go hand in hand. When Jesus got to, because he was hungry, and found nothing. And since it was showing, since it has semblance of religion or spirituality, yet it bears no fruit, he caused it that it will never be fruitful again. And the Bible says, oh, burn instantly. Do you remember John 15 verse 6? When a man does not abide in me, he is cut off like a branch and he is withered. In the early dawn of the morning, as he was coming back to the city, he was hungry. Even in this new day and age, the Lord is hungry. He's hungry for a man or a woman. He's hungry for a man whose life he is pleased with and through whom he can bring help, deliverance, and divine blessings to a lot of other people. But even if the Lord is hungry, he's not so desperate that he will now start picking food from the trash can. No. That is in need of a man doesn't mean any and every man is usable. No. The word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 to 21 is very clear. Remember, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood. Abi, and of... clay. But that somebody must purge himself and all that if he wants to be useful. The Lord has a standard on the type of life he can eat from. If he must use a man, what he looks for first of all is fruits. What does he look for first of all? Ah. Brethren, what does he look for first of all? Does he look for gifts first of all? Who puts gifts there? It's the same God. Who puts fruits there? Who made that tree that Jesus went to? Huh? Who is Jesus? So, now when he went to this tree that he made and expect to be fruitful since he had made it so and it refused to fulfill purpose, what did he do? If somebody is not under God's blessing, he's under what now? Can there be sitting on the fence? It's either you are blessed or you are cursed. It's one of the two. If he must use a man, what he looks for first of all is fruits. And as he saw one single leafy fig tree above the roadside, he went to it. That which draws his attention is fruits. If you want him to be close to your life, what would draw his attention? That you are fruitful, that he has control over you. This is why the story of this fig tree, as it is true of many lives, is particularly tragic. What drew Jesus, who was hungry, is the promise of refreshment as he tastes of the fruit thereof. Jesus knew all things. So he knew that that tree was barren, but he still went to look for fruit on it. Right or wrong? Huh? He went to look for fruit on it because it was pretending to be fruitful, when it was actually barren. The entire purpose of this event is so that the Lord can teach us a lesson, we, upon whom the end of the world has come. All the master saw on this tree are just leaves. Just leaves in the season where leaves and fruits are meant to be on it. This is the reason why it was cursed. In the same way, if you see a leafy fruit tree on a very sunny day when you are hungry and thirsty, naturally you'll be delighted since it promises shade, fruits and cool breeze. Is it not so? Just imagine what happens when you get to the tree and there's no fruit, no cool breeze. Even the shade is uncomfortable since all the three are supposed to go hand in hand together. In the same way, if all that the Lord and men can see in your life is the external leaves of religious life, church attendance, you just pay your offering and your tithe and that's all, you just attend meetings, but your spiritual life is actually devoid of fruit, every other thing else will be a waste. When Jesus drew close to that fruit tree, all he was seeking was fruits. Even as you are praying and asking the Lord to notice you today, what do you really think he's seeking diligently in your life, if not fruits? John 15 verse 16, easy to read version says, "You did not choose me," Jesus speaking, "I chose you, and I gave you this work to go and make fruit. And I want your fruit to continue, and I want this fruit to continue in your life. Then you will ask the Father anything, then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name." And he said to it, "Never again shall fruit come to you," and the fig tree withered up at once. Brethren, as I wrap up, how many years have you been a Christian? And since when has the Lord been coming? As you are here, there are so many of you that things that God prepared for you, different things, whether promotion, whether you should enter into a particular office, whether you should become something, it has passed over because the life was not ready. As you stand up to pray, now, if you're here and you are pleading with the Lord and you are telling him, "Lord, I want a restoration. And beyond the restoration, I want to be fruitful from henceforth." As we stand up to pray, come out here before the Lord. If you are among those coming up, please kneel down, because it is to God that you are kneeling. It is to God that you are coming. You are not coming before any man. You want to tell him, "Lord, the years that I have wasted, it is my desire, it is my prayer that you be restored. And from henceforth, it is my desire that you work this out in me." I want you to begin to talk to him. Ah, Lord, help me in Jesus' name. All the years that the grace of God had been available, and yet it was just squandered. Lord, I pray you'll have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. Please let us talk to the Lord. Let us talk to Him. Lord, for grace, that mercy will restore to us again. All that is in your plans, but have passed us over. Lord, since you said in your word that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, I pray you will look again to us today and have mercy and restore to us all that has been missing, all that has been lost to years of unfruitfulness. Lord, let us not return back the same. Let us not return back again the same way, working us to will and to do of your own good pleasure. Many of us, Lord, have been cut off because we are unfruitful. Regraft us in again. You are able to do all things, for with God, nothing is impossible. Regraft us in again. Give our spiritual life, Lord, a fresh lease of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, let there be a restoration. Let there be grace. In the name of Jesus. Let us not come too late this morning. Lord, let us not come too late this morning. Esau came too late. Let that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Let it not be our portion. As we come to you, Father, let there be a restoration. As we come to you, help us come yielded so that the Holy Spirit can begin His work in us. Help us, O Lord my God, in Jesus' name. Help us, O Lord. Help us, Lord. Everything that has been lost, everything that has been missing, everything that has been replaced because you didn't find fruit. Holy Spirit of God, as we yield the control of our lives to you today, we pray that you begin to do your work in us. For when you are in our lives, you are the one that makes us fruitful. Even though it's our responsibility to be fruitful. But it is what you do as we yield to you. The yieldedness that we need. The brokenness that we need. So that you can work easily in us. Lord, we receive of you today. In the name of Jesus, we receive of you. Lord, we receive of you. We receive of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be a change in our lives. Cause us to be regrafted into your purpose and plans for us. From henceforth, Lord, as we have come to you, make fruitfulness easy in our lives. Let us, cause us, Lord, to bear fruit with patience. Even in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for everyone, Lord, whom has come to your feet. And they say, Lord, I am the one you are talking about. The blessing that goes with obedience, let it rest upon every destiny. Cause it to rest upon every life that has come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, the Bible says it is God that works in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Begin to work out fruitfulness in us in Jesus' name. Cause it in our lives that it will be easy to bear your fruit in the name of Jesus. More than that, Lord, baptize us with fresh hunger for you, fresh hunger for your word. Lord, fresh hunger for meditation in the word, fresh hunger for prayer, fresh hunger for practicing the word of God in the name of Jesus. Everything that is due to us that was taken away because we were unfruitful, the Lord restore now in double fold. In the name of Jesus. Years that has been wasted, resources that have been wasted, opportunities that have been wasted, but that God really wished that we should have, if we but only be fruitful. It is restored now in a double fold in Jesus' name. So it is decreed, and so it is in the name of Jesus. From henceforth, we'll be bearing fruit with patience by the grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. Let us be seated. Questions from this session? Things that you learned but you want maybe more to be explained maybe further?
Sir, why teaching? You said something. You said God does not save people for them to serve him, but save people to be saved.
I said God does not save you so that God can serve you. Said instead God saved you so that you can serve him. Yes.
I want to be clear on that.
And that's what it means. When God saved you, he didn't save you so that you can become your houseboy. You understand? He saved you so that your life can be useful for his own purpose, so that you can serve him. So that through your life, he can achieve things he wants to achieve. That's why he saved you. He didn't save you so that every time you cry that you want feeder, he can be feeding you with feeder. No, that's not why he saved you. That means he didn't save you so that you can have fruit of the womb, so that you can have blessing, favor, prosperity, all of those things that people look for. No. Those things are additions. What are they? Blessings always follow, pursue, and overtakes everyone who pleases God. It's as simple as that. Okay? He didn't save you for those purposes. That's what I said. Do you understand? Okay.
So my question is it only in time of trials that God demands seed from us?
Is it only at the time of trials that God demands fruit? Not necessarily. I'm only saying that times when trials come, times when temptations come, okay, it's a good time where God demands or sees what we are going to do to see whether we have been fruitful over the course of time, since he never allows anything to come our way that he has not prepared us for. You understand? I was only using that as a very good point. It can come at any time. It comes at every fruit-bearing season. Like I was saying earlier, I said that if God says, let there be light, and there was light. If he says, let the sea be filled with all things that swam, and instantly it was so. Huh? When he speaks his word to you, when does he expect it to have effect? Instantly. You understand? But it is denied of that effect because we don't back up what we have had or received with instant obedience. If we back it up with instant obedience, our growth, spiritual growth, will be accelerated. Do you understand? We will grow very quickly. We will go very fast. And we will not be children. You understand? So if I respond to the word of God on time, if the instant is coming to me, I'm responding to it, in very short time, I'll start bearing fruit. I just use that as at least something physical that I can use as an example, something that we can easily identify with. Thank you for asking that question.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 0818-0058-080-813-8536-080-7455-8177-0814098-1321. Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?